Welcome to Beta Finch, your AI-powered earnings breakdown where we cut through the corporate speak to bring you what really matters from the latest earnings calls. I'm Alex, and I'm joined as always by my co-host Jordan. Today we're diving into MasterCard's first quarter 2026 results. And folks, there's a lot to unpack here. Before we jump in, I need to mention that this podcast is AI-generated content for educational and entertainment purposes only. Nothing we discuss should be considered investment advice. Always do your own research and consult a qualified financial advisor before making any investment decisions.
Thanks, Alex. And what a quarter this was for MasterCard. The numbers are pretty impressive. Net revenue up 12% and net income jumping 15% year over year on a currency neutral basis. EPS came in at $4.60, which included a nice 10-cent boost from share buybacks.
That's solid growth, but what caught my attention was how they're navigating some pretty significant headwinds. CEO Michael Miebach was pretty upfront about the geopolitical tensions affecting their cross-border business, particularly related to the Middle East conflict. Jordan, what did you make of their approach to this challenge?
It's interesting, Alex. They're seeing pressure on cross-border travel metrics. Growth slowed from 8% to just 2% in the first 4 weeks of April. But here's what I found compelling. Miebach talked about how they immediately pivoted to help customers understand shifting spending patterns. Within 24 hours of the conflict escalating, they had a website up for Middle East customers showing where spending was moving.
That's the kind of agility you want to see from management. And they're not just sitting back, they're actively helping customers adapt. Speaking of adaptation, let's talk about some of the more futuristic stuff they're working on. This whole AI agent commerce thing sounds pretty wild.
Oh, the agentic commerce initiative is fascinating. So basically, they're preparing for a world where AI agents can make purchases on your behalf. They've got something called MasterCard Agent Pay, and they're working with heavy hitters like OpenAI, Google, and Microsoft. What's really smart is they've developed verifiable intent, basically a tamper-proof record of what you actually authorized an AI agent to do.
That sounds like it could be huge down the road, but where are we in terms of actual volume and adoption?
Miebach was honest about this. They're still in early stages for volume, but the infrastructure building is critical. They've enabled nearly all MasterCards globally for agent pay, and they're setting the standards for how this whole ecosystem will work. It's classic MasterCard. Get in early, help build the rails, then benefit as adoption scales.
And speaking of getting in early, they're making a big bet on stablecoins with their planned BVNK acquisition. Help our listeners understand what this is all about.
Sure. So BVNK is basically a platform that helps with the messy parts of digital assets, sending, receiving, converting, and storing stablecoins. MasterCard sees stablecoins as becoming a meaningful part of money movement, especially for B2B payments, cross-border transactions, and me-to-me, transfers like funding your own wallet. The revenue model is basis points on volume, and this opens up addressable markets that MasterCard doesn't participate in today. Plus, BVNK has those hard-to-get licenses and regulatory tools that make this space work.
It sounds like they're positioning themselves for a multi-rail future, not just cards, but also real-time payments and digital assets. Now, let's talk about their bread-and-butter value-added services. This segment grew 18%. What's driving that?
This is where their data moat really shines, Alex. They're seeing strong demand across cybersecurity, fraud prevention, and business analytics. The recorded future acquisition they made in 2024 is already paying dividends. They have over 500 customers using their threat intelligence product, and they've taken down malicious domains affecting over 10,000 e-commerce sites.
That's tangible value right there. And with all the AI-driven fraud we're hearing about, this seems perfectly timed.
Exactly. Plus, they're developing their own generative AI model trained on their transaction data. Think about it. They see spending patterns across billions of transactions globally. That's incredibly valuable for predicting fraud, understanding consumer behavior, and helping businesses make smarter decisions.
Let's talk guidance. They're maintaining their full-year outlook for high-end, low double-digit revenue growth, but second quarter is expected to be at the low end of that range. What's your read on the trajectory?
The second quarter softness is really about the Middle East conflict impact and some portfolio shifts. Basically, certain card programs moving away from their network. But their base case assumes the conflict ends in second quarter, with gradual recovery in the back half of the year. What I like is their diversification. Consumer spending fundamentals remain healthy, and their value-added services business, which is about 40% of revenue now, continues to perform strongly. They're not dependent on any single geography or product line.
And they clearly have confidence in their long-term prospects. They accelerated share buybacks to $4 billion in first quarter alone, with another $1.7 billion through April. That's putting their money where their mouth is.
Absolutely. CFO Sachin Mehra mentioned they stepped up buybacks due to current valuation levels and their conviction in long-term growth. When you combine that with their innovation pipeline, AI agents, stablecoins, cybersecurity, it paints a picture of a company that's not just defending its moat, but actively expanding it.
Looking ahead, what should investors be watching for?
I'd focus on three things. First, how quickly cross-border travel recovers as geopolitical tensions hopefully ease. Second, the pace of adoption for their newer initiatives like Agent Pay and the integration of BVNK once that closes. And third, whether they can maintain that strong double-digit growth in value-added services as that becomes an even bigger part of their business model.
Great insights, as always, Jordan. For our listeners, MasterCard continues to show why it's considered one of the strongest network effect businesses out there. They're investing heavily in future payment rails, while their current business remains remarkably resilient.
Before we wrap up, I want to remind everyone that everything we've discussed today is AI-generated analysis for educational purposes. Past performance doesn't guarantee future results. Please do your own due diligence before making any investment decisions.
Thanks for tuning in to Beta Finch. We'll be back next time with another AI-powered earnings breakdown. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep those portfolios diversified. That's all for today's earnings analysis. If you found this helpful, consider supporting Beta Finch on Patreon. Your support helps us upgrade our voices, cover more companies, and keep this show running. Visit patreon.com/betafinch to learn more. Thanks for listening.